Hi, Diane, how are you?
Hey, good, thanks, Svenja. And yourself?
Yeah, doing well, doing well. Are you I read your message on
On the
your
Facebook page.
outcome. Yeah, in the Facebook group. So do you have something to share, or is it not finished yet?
Well, I can share what I've got so far. Let me just see where I've put it. My desktop looks as if a bomb's hit it at the moment.
That's kind of like how mine looks.
Okay, so it's three pages long.
Okay.
Hang on. Yes, so it's, no, sorry, 2 pages long. The first page was just a scratch pad. So how would you like me to send it to you?
Yeah, like what I'm thinking today is that we'll go through the outcome documents. I think that would be valuable for everyone, rather than going into the necessarily like, well, obviously the strategy process is related to that. So, but like maybe we'll go through a few of the documents and get some clarity there.
Okay.
So if you could email it, then I can pull it up and we can work from there.
Okay, so let me just get that in an email to you.
Yes. And I see Maria's on the call. Hi, Maria.
Hi, Femka. Hi, Diane. Hi, Francisco.
How are you?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
Yes, doing well.
That's good.
Busy as
Came back from a
always.
nice break recently.
What's that?
You just came back from a break recently.
Yeah, in Holland, you mean?
Yeah.
Yeah. It was nice. Too short.
I can imagine.
And I still worked while I was in Holland, so
Oh, okay.
like next time I'm not doing that. It doesn't work.
Yeah, it would be tricky. Do you actually have any non-client facing weeks, Femke, or do you tend to schedule clients every week but work around holiday?
So this year, actually, because Christmas is so awkward, it's like on the weekend. I'm not like I'm just continuing to work, but I am gonna plan in some weeks off, I think, to do my writing and to be able to like focus on that. So I don't know when yet, though.
I used to see clients every like alternate weeks, and it was good if you were making travel plans, because you'd have less to rearrange. You'd kind of always have that 1 week free that, even if the kids got sick that week, you wouldn't be client facing.
Right. Yeah, that's very true. And that's how, like, I have my trainings like that every other week. And scheduling clients, it's easier because then I can, like, if let's say we're going to go for a camping trip or something like that, I can just plan it in the off week and I don't have to miss anything. So I see Nicholas and Tanya are joining us. I just need to let Francisco know to add his mic because I don't see his mic showing up. Let me just send a chat to him. Oh, now he dropped away. Okay, we'll wait until he's back. So Nicholas and Tanya have joined us. Hi, Nicholas.
Hello, hi.
How are you?
I'm fine, thank you.
Good. I got your document this
Yes.
morning. So what we're going to do today is go over some of the outcome statements and get a little bit more clear. We'll relate it to the strategy process, but I think everyone would benefit from spending some more time on getting the outcome as well. So we'll do that. And then Tanya, how are you?
I'm good. I'm here, which is a huge achievement.
Yay, I like it. And I saw you had a nice morning or afternoon watching a Disney movie.
Yeah, my youngest daughter finished school yesterday, and my niece and my older daughter, and the three of us had a girly night, which was very fun. And
nice.
I'm about to, in a couple of hours, I'm going to start assisting on ACMC for the next 10 days. So,
oh, wow.
I was having a bit of bad mother guilt about not being around as soon as I started holiday. So I decided to take matters into my own hands, and we had that lovely night last night, and it was very beautiful. So,
oh, wonderful. Nice. Okay, so we'll just go ahead and get started. We're still missing a few people. Carol, who is new, she couldn't rearrange her schedule early enough, so she's going to be joining us in February. In the meantime, she's going to listen to the recordings, etc. So she should be all caught up once she jumps on the calls, and I think it would also be good to connect with her, and so that she's also part of the team and she can practice with you guys as well. So I've seen a couple, like Francisco has shared his outcome statement. It's a shame he's not on the call, so I'll send him an email in a moment. To see where he's at. So Diane just sent it to me. Maria just sent hers to me. Nicholas sent his updated one. Tanya, do you have an updated one?
I don't. I do apologize. I didn't realize I needed to send it to you. I have the one that we worked on in our one-to-one.
Yeah.
But I also have another one that I've created for another issue that I would like to work on. But it's handwritten. I did it last night. Maybe I can take a photograph. I'm actually in the car.
Okay.
So I'm a little bit squishy. Just give me a chance to see if I can do that. And if you can read my handwriting, because it's pretty atrocious.
Yeah, so we'll just get started. I want you obviously to be safe in the car. Yeah.
I'm parked, but outside. I just, because I need to be inside the building 10 minutes after we finish, so I just thought it was better to come and have the call here rather than not be able to attend.
That's smart. So we'll just get started with some of the other documents. I don't know how far we are gonna get, and then we can make it interactive and do questions and things as we go along. So let me just see. Let's start off with Diane today. So here's also because I see that. That most of you have gone through the questions, and answered all of the questions. And what I would like you to do ultimately is, once you go through all of these questions, to put it into to bring everything together in the way that you know, okay, I've got this, how am I going to say that? So I've got this present state with with this as the trigger and this is the context, with these as the beliefs and and the desired state and in between, because I have done detection and analysis, these are the steps that I need to take. And so rather than if you just fill it out, one question after another, I think you're going to miss some of the links. So But let's take a look at Diane's and I can explain myself better. Before we do that, though, are there any questions about what we discussed last time, about doing the document, things like that? And you can just unmute yourself if you're muted. Any questions about the strategy process?
It's Maria Femke. I was just wondering something that came up. I just did an impromptu kind of coaching conversation with a friend just to gain some clarity. She's considering leaving her job. And I was thinking, as I was having this coaching conversation with her, about the structure. And when you're having a clarity conversation, how much of I was trying to think of the triggers and the beliefs around having a clarity. Is it kind of a somewhat of a different template that you have in mind when you're specifically only having a clarity conversation? Or is it still the same?
It's still the same. It's just at a different level because you so the current state is for example like a lack of clarity. I don't know what that means specifically, but what state does my client get into as a result of that lack of clarity? Is that maybe confusion?
So
you just take it to a different level. Like ultimately the result might be that once your client has clarity, that in a different context they are able to make decisions or something like that. And that's the critical part of really getting the what behind the what, because if you start off with one context and then all of a sudden it becomes like, oh, this should be about clarity. Tell me more about this lack of clarity. Mm-hmm. Is it just in this situation or do you have it in other situations as well? And then that lack of clarity also has a context. It has a trigger.
Yeah. So the trigger is the part that kind of I was more curious about, because I was trying to think about, in this case, maybe the trigger was considering leaving and that put her in a state of confusion or considering leaving her job. So,
right. So it might actually be every time that she sits down and thinks of leaving, there might be something that she sees or that she says to herself. And then she does something in her mind to create like this unclarity or lack of clarity.
Yep.
So there's always a trigger that puts her into that state, even if it's the thought or... And then I'm curious what is behind the lack of clarity, because that might actually be fear or, so the lack of clarity might actually be keeping her safe. Yeah. I don't know, I'm just making that up. But
Yeah. Thank you.
You're welcome. And just as what you really want to then, so if she says, well, every time I think about it, or if I just say, like, ask the question, should I leave?
Yeah.
Like, what does she see when she, like, or in, that might be just be a question that she asks herself, but she might also see something.
Yeah. Yeah, I think I'll have to work on that, I think, a little bit more. Like I can see, I'm just rethinking back to the conversation, I can see how that structure would still exist. But
strategy processes and how you can get the strategy What are all of
I don't know who's watching my video. That is so awkward. Doing this. So, Maria, actually what I'm hearing here is that it might actually be a decision conversation.
Ah, about, I think so.
Okay.
Yeah, it was actually, Mm-hmm.
Cool. Very good. Any other questions?
Yes, I have a question and a mouthful, excuse me. What I'm curious about is you just use the terminology of a decision question and a clarity question. Can you just explain a little bit more about what that means in terms of, it sounds like a model that we'll be using in this, and perhaps it's something that I should know about, or perhaps it's something that we'll be covering in more detail later?
Yeah, it's actually the decision conversation or clarity conversation.
Mm-hmm.
So the identification of seven different kinds of conversations that you can have with the client. So clarity, decision, I'm totally spacing it. Like it can be mediation. If that's mostly if you're in working in teams. So conflict, conversation, confrontation. So what kind of conversation do you need to be having with your client? I have to admit that I have that in the back of my mind. But a lot of the time I just forget about that and focus on, okay, like what is the present state? What is the present state behind that we really need to be talking about? And then I just do detection and analysis and figure out what is it that my client is unable to do for themselves. So they may not be able to get clarity, or they may not, and then you need to untangle that because they don't know how to do that, or they don't know how to do a decision. And that's also in module one. That should be in there.
Oh, really? Okay. Maybe I missed it. All right. Thank you. That's great. Thank you very much.
I think so. Like I need to check that.
Okay. Thanks.
Yep. I'm just writing that down. Okay. So let's take a closer look at the different outcome statements, and we'll see how far we get. What I'd like is for you guys to start thinking visually in the structure of where are you now and where do you need to be, and so rather than like seeing the well-formed outcome as 18 questions, seeing it visually as a present state, desired state, and a how in between. And in order to get to that how, you need to do detection and analysis. So we're going to look at it from that point of view, rather than going through the questions one by one. So let's start with Diane.
Okay.
And so let's see how I can, I'm just going to share the screen. How do I do that here? I think this is it. Yes. Okay. So let me know if I need to make it bigger. I'm like making it a little bit bigger here so that it's, is it legible for everyone?
Yep. That's good. Thank you.
Okay, great.
Great. Good.
Okay, perfect. So here we start with the what question, the what. So there's three. I want to develop strategies and tactics for dealing with difficult behaviors in my work environment. I want to have the courage to stand in my own power and not devalue myself or my expertise in environments with people in authority who abuse power. And I will be courageous to stand my ground on things I really care about. Okay, so then, like, am I understanding this correctly, Diane, that in how you've represented that, the bullet points follow, like the first bullet point is the first of the what is also the first bullet point of how you've represented that?
No, that was me free-forming in terms of what are the representation of those three statements.
Okay, very good. So, so let me ask this of like the others. If you see how is it represented, I see myself listening, empathizing, and stating my position with clarity and conviction without discounting other opinions or worried that something bad will happen to me. I feel empowered and grounded. So, like, if you hear your client say that, and let me go to Nicholas, and then we'll just jump from one to another. Hi, Nicholas.
Hi, Nicholas.
Hi.
Like, if you read these first parts, and we'll do the context as well, in coaching and work situations with other leaders, when I see this playing out in the next 2 to 10 years. So, like, where would you begin in terms of fleshing this out and helping Diane have an outcome that we know, like, that we can test and that we know specifically what to work on?
I think I will go to the what questions, because it's not, at least not for me, specifically enough. So I won't be able to follow her in how she represents it and even the whys. I need to have more clarity about the what, I think.
Okay. So would you like to ask Diane a few questions and then I will jump in where I feel that is needed, but we'll just ask her some questions to help Diane get more clear.
Okay.
And what I really would love to do is if I could do a combination of shares, but I don't think I can do that. Okay, so I need to keep it like this. What I'm going to do is I'm going to take notes and then I'll do the use the whiteboard later to show the present and desired state and make it visual.
Okay. Should I?
Yes, go ahead.
Yep. Okay. So, Diane, I need to ask you about the first point about, you say that you want to develop strategies and tactics for dealing with difficult behaviors in your work environment. And I would like to know what that means more specifically.
Yeah, so what currently happens is when I'm confronted with people who impose their own agenda onto me, I don't have the skills or sometimes even the words to be able to set my own boundaries. And one of two things happens. I give in and then I end up feeling resentment, or I walk away and I leave the job. And in the past few years, it's been the latter, and I tend to find that now it's become an ingrained pattern that when it becomes too hard, I stay until it becomes very, very stressful, and then I just check out.
Okay, so if I understand you correctly, it's are they in a management role, or are you experience it with co-workers, or?
Yeah, great question. It's usually they're in a management role, or I'm either reporting to them or they're in a much senior role.
Okay. And how often would this pattern be, how often do you experience this pattern? Is it several times a month or even several times a week? Or,
well, in the last consulting contract I had, it was several times a day.
Okay.
With two particular individuals. And I was advised that it was because of their cultural heritage. And then it just, I noticed that the pattern was actually happening across the team. So I felt quite isolated, and then I felt that I was the odd one out. And that started me thinking that maybe I don't fit in here. Okay. Maybe it's time for me to leave.
Okay, I see. And when you say at the last point at the what stage, you say you want to be courageous to stand my ground on things I really care about. Could you explain that to me more specifically? How would you courageously stand your ground?
Nicholas, I'm just going to interrupt you here for a moment. Yeah. So, and we're just going to shift screens just for a moment. So the first outcome is, I want to develop strategies and tactics for dealing with difficult behaviors in my work environment. So if we, so I'm just going to do a new share, and I'll write that first. I want to I see that I'm using the American spelling. Okay, so in terms of, Nicholas, in terms of the present state, what is the present state?
How would I say that in English? It's like I'm not sure how to explain it in English, but I mean, there's this sense of not being able to deal with the kind of behaviors she's describing. But what would you say that the state is? It's
so I've heard a couple of things. Yeah. I've heard that she stays until it's too stressful. So that's like the present state right before she leaves. What I'm hearing is that before that she feels resentment if she gives in. And so like I'm hearing resentment, stress, and then there's also a sense of like, I'm the odd one out, I don't fit in here, I don't know the resulting state from that. But like, so there's the state of stress and the state of resentment. Mm-hmm. My guess is that they happen at different periods in time. So the stress might not be immediately there. The resentment might not be immediately there. What was the trigger that she mentioned? So Tanya mentioned that it might be a state of isolation. That might be it. What was the trigger that she mentioned?
Was it the when people compose their own agenda onto her?
Mm-hmm. Yes, so imposing own agenda. So this is the way that I'm taking notes. And this allows me, so if you look at this, imposing own agenda, do you know what that means?
No, it's not exactly clear.
So this is like essentially like I'm writing this down. I don't necessarily have to know that information yet. And I think, like, because Nicholas went to the context question, which is really already refining, okay, what are we talking about here? So the context being people like in management roles, like I'm from what I'm gathering, also people in our team. And so in terms of behaviors, I'm just going to pick a different color here. In terms of behaviors, we have either walk away or give in. So that sounds like two different present states, and there might be two different matrices at play here. But ultimately, once I start to kind of put it into this visual like this, so imposing their own agenda, I want to know more specific about that so that I can ground it. So what specifically happens in this context, and where does Diane go in her mind? So before we continue going on to the next outcome, we want to gather enough information so that we understand how is she creating this stress and resentment. This is also over time. So I want to know, where does it start in a way? And I'm going to just do it small because I don't have enough space. But in a way, there's a couple of present states before this that ultimately lead to too much stress or resentment, and ultimately to walking away or giving in. So this is how she is dealing with the difficult behavior right now. And then we can map that out to the other side. Does that make sense, Nicholas?
Yes, I think so.
So Femke, can I just interrupt you for a moment?
Yes.
As you were drawing that, I've just realized that it's not walk away or give in. It starts at giving in and then eventually walk away.
Yes. Okay. So there's a... So initially you give in.
Yes. And then as the resentment and the stress and the anger increases and the sense of hopelessness starts to set in, mm-hmm. I decide to walk away.
Okay. So initially you give in, which leads to anger and hopelessness.
And resentment.
And resentment.
So the hopelessness is the state just before I decide to walk away. It's like it's not worth me, you know, killing myself or destroying myself to get the outcome that I need to get here. And that's a conversation I have with myself.
Okay. So the when does the stress come in?
The stress comes in when I'm having the same conversation with particular individuals over and over again, and I feel as if I'm not being heard or my advice is not being taken. And okay. Then months later, the very thing that I advised them about happened, and I see that the whole team is scratching their head and blaming one another.
Okay. So what I'm hearing now, and I'm just going to rearrange the screen here so that we can map that out. Just for now, we're going to forget about the present state.
You mean the future state?
The future state, yes. Thank you.
This is very useful, actually, because it's quite complex in some ways.
Yes, it is. I don't know how to...
Thanks, Diane.
Thanks, Maria. I've been battling with this for about 10 years. So.
Okay, so here we go. So we've got several present states. I don't know how many yet, but I'm just going to draw three. Let's do purple. I like that color. Okay, So we've got several present states. What I'm hearing from you now is that first you give in.
Yes.
Rather than the walking away. And so it sounds like before you get angry or resentment, is there's like the state of giving in. And I don't know what to... Oops, that's how you would describe that behavior. So giving in.
So when I'm giving in, what I'm saying to myself is my opinion is not valued here.
Okay. That's what you say to yourself, my opinion.
That's what I think. Yeah. My opinion isn't valued here. It's going to be easier if I just do what they tell me to do. And then that's when the resentment starts to grow.
Okay. And so...
Because I have not stood my ground on something that I really care about.
Okay. So what state are you, like, what state are you in when you are giving in?
Frustrated.
Okay. So initially it's frustration.
Yes.
What state do you have on top of the frustration that has you give in?
It feels hopeless. I feel hopeless.
Okay, so it's kind of like a hopeless frustration?
Yes.
And the reason why I asked that for everyone is because I'm thinking frustration. Why would frustration lead to giving in? If I get frustrated, I might actually work fight harder. So that's why I was like, okay, like how is this textured? So hopeless frustration, which leads to a behavior of giving in. I don't exactly know what that means yet. So I need to ask a clarity question there. But here's the thing about this, writing it down this way and starting to kind of like map it out, is that I don't have to worry so much about the details initially because I have written it down and I know that that's an important word, so I'll get to that later. I just don't have that information yet. But I can forget about it for the time being. So what happens first, because you write like dealing with difficult behaviors, what is it specifically that that your coworker or your manager needs to do or say or not do that you would call difficult behavior?
So they don't ask, so they bring me in for my expertise, but they don't allow me to use my expertise. So what happens is they tell me what to do based on their model of the world without asking me. So they tell me what to do, not ask me.
Okay. And yet so part of the context is that you were brought in for your expertise.
Yes.
And then they tell you what to do. How specifically do they do that?
The word that comes to mind is they encroach on my area of expertise.
Okay.
So I'm dealing with, I'm a change manager, to set the context for people who know what I do. And I do change management in organizations and I work predominantly with project managers. And I've had a gutful of project managers telling me how to manage the people side of change when they don't have the skills or their expertise in some of the methods and techniques that I've invested a lot of money and years developing.
Okay, so now we're getting a little bit of the context. So these are like mostly project managers.
Yes.
Let me just write that down. Oh, shoot. So these are project managers who hired you for your expertise, but they tell you on the people side of things what to do.
Yep.
Okay. And rather than asking you questions.
So yes, it feels very one-sided. It feels that they're imposing their own agenda and their own models and their own stuff onto me. And I feel that this is not an equal relationship. It's very much I'm a commodity rather than a valued member of the team.
Okay, so tell me about how this works. So do you have a project manager in mind?
Yes, I have two, because I just recently left a contract.
Right.
So I was working with both of them.
Okay.
And they're very technically astute, but in terms of empathy, on a scale of 0 to 10, they're probably a minus 1.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So I'd be curious what that means, that they are on a minus 1, what specifically they do. But let's start with they tell you what to do without asking you. How do you respond to them telling you what to do without asking you?
So I'm just trying to think of a conversation that I've had with them. So we will have a meeting and they will just launch into what needs to be done and what I need to do. And then I acknowledge what they've said and I actually say, and here's what I think needs to have happen, and then outline my approach.
Mm-hmm.
I think that it's been accepted in that meeting, and then I find out when we come out that we've moved on to the next thing, or sometimes in meetings, everyone talks over one another, and they talk over one another, and when I think that the message has been heard, I find that it hasn't.
Okay, so I'm hearing several things here now. One, they tell you what to do without asking you.
Yes.
You then give your ideas.
Yep. And ideas, yep.
And ideas. And then there's something that happens that makes you think that they've heard it, but they haven't.
Yes, and when I've tried to educate them, because that takes time, they turn around and say, well, they're too busy, or it's not their area of that that's what I'm here for.
Mm-hmm.
And yet when I try and implement some of those ideas, I am blocked. I am questioned constantly. It's like, well, why are you doing this? This isn't how it should be done. And I then come back and say, well, you've brought me in for my expertise. I'm showing you my expertise, but yet you're not appreciating the value that I'm bringing.
Okay.
So I get a lot of resistance from them, from any ideas that I wish to implement. Well, not any, but most of the ideas that I wish to implement.
Okay. So when this happens, they're telling you what to do without asking you.
Yep.
Even though they brought you in for your expertise. And you then tell them your thoughts and opinions and ideas, but they haven't heard it. What do you believe about that that leads to hopeless frustration?
The hopeless frustration comes because I'm spending large majority of my time trying to convince my own team about how to manage projects well, and it frustrates me because the amount of time that I feel as if I'm wasting with them with no immediate results or no results that I can see in the short term is mm-hmm. taking me away from doing that work with a large audience of people in the organization.
Okay, so that's where the frustration comes from.
Yes.
This is taking me away from from
doing the work.
The work
that I could be doing with a larger audience, basically the people in the organisation who will experience a change as a result of the project.
Okay, and you also said my opinion is not valued here.
No.
So does that create part of the hopelessness?
Yes, it does.
Okay. So is that let's say that that's the case, your opinion is not valued here. What do you believe about that creates this hopelessness?
Well, I feel as if I'm fighting an uphill battle, a battle that I'm not going to win.
Okay.
And it's like I have a conversation with myself saying, well, if this is going to be too hard for me to do, is it really worth my effort? Am I going to get any benefit in staying here and fighting the good fight when I feel as if there's no chance of me winning this?
Okay, so that sounds like that already comes later, that comes later.
Yes, yes. Mm-hmm. So it starts there with a hopeless frustration.
Mm-hmm.
It's well, I'm never going to convince them, so I might as well just do what they say. And then over time, I start to be resentful because my heart's not in it and I know that it's not going to work out.
So wait a minute, you just said I might just as well give in.
Yep.
I'm never going to convince them.
That's right.
Okay. So now we're starting to see a little bit about like how you're creating this frustration.
Yeah.
If we then look at just real quick, and then we'll go to the group and we'll dive deeper into like, okay, how what is the structure here? So this, rather than this hopeless frustration, so you're facing project managers who are really good technically, empathetically, they're at a level minus one.
Yep.
And they tell you what to do without asking you, even though they brought you in for your expertise.
Yes.
And so there's from their side, there is what you call resistance.
Yes.
So being faced with that, what state would you like to be in instead?
A calm, empowered state. And balanced power. It's balanced power. Because when I look at that, it feels very much I'm the victim.
Okay, yeah. So so you would like to be empowered. Here you feel like you are the victim.
Yes.
And it sounds like in the way that you are thinking yourself that you're creating that victim state.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay, so let's take a little break here. Let me ask you first, as we're doing this, are you starting to see like the how to get to the core of what to work on?
Yes. Yes, I'm starting to see it.
So, and I think this is like because that what you just said I'm feeling like a victim. I think that's already part of the detection and analysis of like, hey, I'm giving away my power.
Yes.
Yeah. And so not doing that would make a difference for you.
Yes, it would.
Yeah.
Femke, could I make a question?
Yes.
The emphasis we put on the current state or the sort of unwanted state is the reasoning behind that is it to make it sort of easier to sort out the desired state. Is that the reason or the sort of motive behind, I mean, taking the time to create the current state as clearly as you do?
Yeah, because now, like, we're getting more information about how, like, what's going on here. So from stepping back from this and saying, like, hey, I'm actually feeling like a victim here. So then we also can find a solution. And a lot of the time, because we don't like spending so much time in the present state, and in NLP we learn, like, oh, you shouldn't go there. And it's so focused on getting the outcome that we don't spend enough time understanding what's really going on so that we can analyze it and then actually say, okay, so this is not working. You want a different kind of behavior. What kind of behavior, what kind of a state do you need to then be in instead of this? And a lot of the time, because this creates so much awareness, it's much easier to then think of, okay, where do I want to be instead?
So in a way, this is really a part of the supporting skill, isn't it?
Yes, it's part of the supporting skill, part of the listening
skill. Yes,
absolutely. Yeah, and it's also part of getting a well-formed outcome. Mm. You know, like, if you look at the well-formed outcome questions, question 7, a lot of the time it doesn't get asked, what do you need to do to get to your outcome? But also a lot of the time it gets asked too early. Mm. And then your client doesn't know really how to answer that, and they come up with solutions from inside of their present state that are more performance based than actually more transformational based. So what I'm hearing from Diane is that doing it this way, and this is actually creating the right from the beginning, giving in, she already sees herself as a victim, or she thinks and feels in victim mode. Is that going to help her deal with the resistance of the project managers? Is that going to help her gain their trust so that they actually want to hear what she has to say? My guess is no. So that's what I can then feed her back so that we can then say, oh, like, what is it that we need to work on so that you are able to gain the trust of the project managers and to have them to make the chances or the opportunity of them wanting to hear her much bigger, because obviously that's she can have influence on that, but it's not fully in her control.
Yeah, Femke, if I can just chime in here, mm-hmm. This unpacking of the states. It's funny because when I started writing the well-formed outcome at the beginning, I actually had the word victim in there, and I thought, no, I'll take it out. So I was almost like self-editing. But until we unpack this, I hadn't realized how much energy has me stuck in that state.
Yeah. So that's your dragon state.
Yes.
We can call that your dragon state.
Yeah. And I think if we had gone straight, St. Nicholas, if I had gone straight into my desired state, it wouldn't have had as much energy as it would now, having seen this dragon state that is working.
Yeah.
And I think I mentioned last week, you know, how do you get someone, you know, the big why, how, if there's not enough energy in the big why, how do you help facilitate that change. I now know what I don't want, and my why is even stronger.
Right. And also, I think this is usually where I like start to, where I think the energy starts to can become like a little bit more playful, because you can actually show like, so during this victim state, how is that working for you? And is this the way that you are going to influence your project managers? And so you can, this is where your client can step out of their present state, because so often, and especially with I have like actually a, like a, with being a victim, that long time ago, I had that as a really incredibly strong dragon state, and it still sometimes pops up for me. But I remember that my coach sat in front of me and she said, "You're talking in such a baby voice." Because I back then I wanted to be a coach, and I was an account. I had been studying accountancy, and I didn't know how to become a coach, and I didn't like working where I was working, and I was really very much stuck in the present state of being a victim. And as she had enough information to know what specifically I was doing, how I was doing it, she just fed it back to me. And it was like as if I was slapped in the face in a good, very good way. But it allowed me to step outside of my present state so that I could actually think bigger and dream bigger rather than look through the eyes of the victim at my desired state. And that is what happens a lot. And that's why we start with the present state first and creating that awareness.
Yeah, something that you just said really resonated with me, Femke, when you said looking at the desired state through the eyes of a victim. That is so spot on.
Right. Okay. Yeah. Nice. And Maria.
Yeah. Yes. What I wanted to do, Femke, is unpack how we got to this point. So I want to understand how you chose to stay the present in this time, and also not ask too many specific clarity questions. Like you said it, you know, when you wrote down give in, you said, we're just going to park that. I don't know what that means exactly, but I wanted to unpack how we got to this point. What was your intention behind asking your questions? What questions did you ask, and why and how did you make some decisions to park, for example, give in and not delve into it and gain more clarity in that moment?
Yeah, so for me, the giving in is a result. Mm-hmm. And I want to know about that result. Like, I want to know that behavior. But what I'm first doing right now is understanding the timeline. So a lot of the time we talk about the present state as if it's like one present state. But what you see here is that over time, there are several present states. And like, so your client comes to you because they're stressed and they feel resentment. Actually, in this case, I think resentment is in the middle one. And the stress is the last one.
Yeah.
So we could only deal with this stress, but that would be a Band-Aid. We need to go to where it begins. But I want to know all of these, like the structure of all of these, so that we can then like figure out, okay, what is out of all of these, what is going to be the biggest difference? And for that, I need to have all these beliefs. So I need to know a little bit, okay, what is it specifically that they're doing? And I can get more specific there even. Mm-hmm. At first, like I'm really working from like a big picture and I'm refining it. So I kind of dance between getting more details to going up and up the layers. But knowing this, and I can feed this back, this is how we get to this, the juicy stuff, which is like victimizing. And that's also now Diane said it herself, but this is also something that you can do as a coach is, okay, so here's what you do. There is resistance from your project managers that you sense, and that resistance for you is them telling you what to do without asking you. And then when you give your input, they either ignore you or they don't do what you have said, or they don't acknowledge you. I don't know. I haven't figured that out yet with Diane. But where your mind goes to is that your opinion is not valued here. It's fighting an uphill battle. You're never going to win. You might just as well give in because I are never going to convince them, which then leads to hopeless frustration.
Mm-hmm. So they're all the supporting beliefs which creating that state of hopeless frustration.
Exactly. And then, so this is the hopelessness. And then the other part is this is taking me away from doing the work that I need to do. And there might be some other there will be some other beliefs about that create the frustration. And my guess is actually creating a more distance between her and the project managers.
Yes.
So then I can show that. So there's like that victim, but I'm thinking there might be also some blaming in there. I don't know. We need to have more information there. But I can then say something like, this sounds like you are really good at victimizing yourself. And because you have enough rapport and you have enough support and you can actually feed this back, then you can frame it so that if your client doesn't frame it themselves, they can, the framing allows your client to step outside of it. Does that make sense?
Yep.
So why do I park give in is because I first want to have the big picture of, okay, what happens first, what happens then, and what happens then. And then I want to gather some details and bring it up so that I can, at a bigger level, see what's at play here. We can already see, like, okay, she's giving away her power. Fighting an uphill battle doesn't sound like that is a helpful metaphor. I'm never going to convince them. Mm-hmm. So that already is like a all or nothing thinking. My opinion is not valued here. So this is something that we can start to like already unpack and detect patterns and analyze what's going on here. And then we can make it even more refined. Is it all the time? Are there areas where someone can tell you what to do without asking you, where you don't go to hopeless frustration, which also opens it up to solutions and a different state?
Okay, great, thank you.
Any other questions?
Hi, Sandra.
Hi, Meral, how are you?
I'm fine, how are you?
Yeah, doing well.
Okay, great. So the approach you use to diagnose the present state actually makes the state that she reached being empowered become the outcome. Is this correct?
Yes, like once you have this and the empowerment, and then I can ask her, like, have you ever been felt empowered? And maybe it's been in situations where people told you what to do without asking you. Have you ever felt empowered, or have you ever had a moment where you didn't feel heard, but you were able to? And if that's not the case, then you can get, like, maybe they know someone who's really good at that.
Yes. So actually what was interesting is that the outcome is a state. Not like something that is outside of her. It's actually something that like you brought the outcome to be an inward thing that she needs to work on, rather than saying something like the outcome I want is people to listen to me or to ask me questions, which is out of her control.
Yes, exactly. And the idea is then to because that is an effect. People listening to you is an effect. And if that is your goal, or that if that is your outcome, it can be very frustrating. So what we're going to do is to learn then how to stay empowered. And there's probably another state in there as well, Diane, that I'm thinking is maybe creative or playful, or like you said, calm. But to maximize the chances of being able to move beyond the resistance of project managers to get people to a place so that they actually want to listen. So then we need to start figuring out what is the state that you need to be in, and what are the some of the things that you need to learn? Do you know how to do this? So then you start kind of gathering information there. Once you have that gap, then you can start to kind of say, okay, what is the difference, and what is it that we need to do here? So it might actually be training, coaching, learning something new.
One of the things I think Diane said was that she didn't have the skills or words to set her boundaries. That might be
it's quite interesting that you mentioned the words creative and playful, because I remember when you asked me the question, you know, what state would you like to be? I struggled, because I was still stuck in that victim state, that disempowered state. So, you know, calm and what was the other word that I used? Calm and
empowered.
No, it wasn't empowered. It was calm and I can't even remember. But to me, it's, if I was to imagine myself in that situation again, how would I have liked to have been? Like, what more resourceful state would that have been for me?
Mm-hmm.
Creative, playful. It's almost like a cheeky thinking. Well, I can get around you.
Right.
That would have been a much more helpful state and thinking for me to have during those really difficult and stressful conversations that I was having with one particular project manager.
Yeah, and that's probably going to get you further with these project managers as well.
Yeah.
So, but this is quite like Maria said, this is like a more complex, which is what happens when with a lot of clients, I notice it's not very, you know, clean cut. Oh, we have one present state and we have one desired state, and there's no layers whatsoever, no timeline to take into account. That just doesn't happen. So usually when it comes to this, I take two sessions to really flesh out the present and desired states and get the outcome. You know, I'm not doing this in 25 minutes.
I found you doing that timeline really, really insightful.
Nice. So this is the reason why I'm doing this, is because like when I look at, and I'm just going to change the screen. Let me see. If we look at this and do it really linearly, when you get from the what to the context, it's almost like they're disconnected rather than than related. So the way that I like you to see the questions is yes, you're going to fill them out, but in a way they shouldn't even have a number in front of them, because they're all part of this visual of, hey, I have a present and I have a desired state. and they are related, because in this context, I am having a representation. I'm representing that, and right now I am in a specific state and in a specific response with that, but I want something else. And so they all, those first six questions, except for the why, but the why is like kind of separate, but the first six questions are all about getting that present and desired state, and including meta questions there as well. Are there any questions? So let me just check in with Francisco and with Tanya as well. And so let's go with Francisco first. Hi, Francisco.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
Okay, I can't hear you through the computer, so I'm using the phone.
Okay.
So will you please explain a little bit more again the sequence of the three different present states? Because I couldn't figure it out clearly which was that sequence that you were talking about.
Okay, so we started out with the statement, and this is just the first statement of Diane's outcome. I want to develop strategies and tactics for dealing with difficult behaviors in my work environment. And so initially she said, I either give in or I walk away, as as two different, and those would be two different states. What she then said was, well, actually I give in first, and then when it gets too stressful after feeling resented, I walk away.
Oh, okay, I remember that, yeah. Okay, yeah. Cool.
And so that's how I map that out. And then I know, okay, I have a sequence. Tell me the beginning of that sequence. And it's the same thing that I did with Nicholas, and Nicholas has dropped off the call. And Miral as well, I see. So we're missing a few people. But with Nicholas, it was the same thing. There was a state, there was actually preparing for the coaching session, then doing the coaching session, and then after the coaching session. So just from one outcome, we went from, oh, I want to get ACMC certified or keep my ACMC certification. We went to, what's going on actually before, during, and after a coaching session. And so that's where we can then really get to the cause, because a lot of the time it begins with that first present state. And what happens if you don't map it out, then you're going to get horribly lost and overwhelmed and confused.
Exactly. Yeah.
Will
this be enough information about the present state to move to the desired state?
What is important here is that Diane has had a powerful insight, is that she was in the victim state.
Yeah.
Something that Tanya shared as well, I think, is that we can test as well, is the win-lose meta program. Because it sounds like it's either, and that's also the either or. So it sounds like this is very all or nothing. I'm never going to convince them. But the win-lose meta program is I think that's something to look into. So this is where we can then already start to do some detection and analysis. We can shift now to the desired state and start mapping that out, and then it becomes a dance. So we can get more information on the present state, get more information on the desired state. So if you notice, we've got enough energy now to move away from the present state, that's great because that's where you ultimately want to be. So start gathering information there.
And can you have also several desired states?
Absolutely, yeah.
I mean, kind of like in sequence like you have here?
Yes, absolutely. And I'm thinking also what you want in the desired state is like kind of contingency planning. What if you have like a really playful, creative, empowered, calm state? I think Diane said, oh, I can get around you, that sense of playfulness.
Yeah.
And you do that, but your project manager is just dead set on resisting it. Like that is a different context than someone who is then actually willing to start listening to you. Mm-hmm. So how do you want to deal with that so that you can actually set your boundaries?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Wow, very useful, very good. Thank you.
Yes, and so there's a lot of things like once you do that, then we can start to look at, okay, what are all of the things that you need to learn before that, you know, I need to know more about Diane setting boundaries, what she means with that, if she knows how to do that. And that's where your testing questions then come in. Do you know how to set boundaries? Do you know how to get creative and be playful? Do you know how to deal with someone who is in resistance and what to say to them? So that's also where you start identifying what is it that you need to learn in order to be able to do that state and to do the different behavior. So, yeah.
Yeah. Great. Thank you.
Yeah, you're very welcome. Very welcome. So let's go to Tanya. I think you had a question.
No, I don't actually. This is making perfect sense to me. I can see the process. The only comment, I guess it's a question, is I found myself observing what might be meta programs. I shared a couple with you and with Diane more of a question. And yet what I'm getting from this is that perhaps the labeling of the meta programs and stuff isn't actually necessary so early in the piece, because I guess my sense of it is that if you start to do that, then they go into a meta state of standing back and going, well, am I doing that? And I'm just not sure, yeah, what your thoughts are on asking that question this early on.
I might have an idea of, oh, this might be external referencing or this is all or nothing thinking.
Yeah.
But I want to see it at play first, especially in the beginning. Once I already know my client better, then, you know, in the next sessions, I can interrupt and say, oh, are you doing this again? Or so when it pops up, but initially, I just want to see how everything plays out, and then we will go into like an analysis, if you will.
So at what point would you sort of introduce those things? Because obviously we're in a slightly different situation here because we're all coaches and we understand this slang. But to a client that it's new to, it can feel quite confronting. Especially if it's true, there can be a charge around it. So I'm doing that dance of trying to be more assertive in my coaching, because I have come from that place of being fearful of upsetting them and causing them to contract. So mm-hmm. I'm curious to know if you have sort of a rule around that, I guess, or whether it's just an intuitive thing, as you say, when you feel you've got a bit more rapport with them. But at some point, I guess it needs to be put there to affirm whether it's true or not for them, but also to then be able to refer back to it, as you say.
Yeah, I usually if I have this storyline really clear, and I have their words and I have it right in front, you know, I have it written out, this is what you've said. And then I say, so what we know about the meanings that we give is that we can be what is called cognitively wrong. So we can do, and then I give a menu list. We can do all or nothing thinking. We can personalize something or over-identify with the behavior. And so that's a lot of the time how I explain it so that they get an idea of that. And then I'll just go like, this is what I notice in you is what you're doing. So, or I'll just give the story of, so this is how you are creating hopeless frustration for yourself. First this happens, and then this is what you say to yourself. And I kind of do like a bit of drama there as well. And use my voice and make it kind of like a, not a caricature, but definitely make, like do state induction. So that, and then I can ask, like, so how is this working for you? And a lot of the time when it's not working, then you can, it's easier to look. So let's take a look at what's going on here. Does that help? Some ideas?
Yeah, it does. Thank you. So, well, I guess just so I can be clear, so what I'm hearing is that rather than trying to label it with our terminology, you're using the technique of feeding their words back to them and just allowing that to be the language for now.
Yes. Yeah. Absolutely.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah.
And so, Fimpin, just another thing that really resonated with me is when you said you're feeding back my story.
Yeah. And in what way did that resonate with you?
Because that's helped build rapport between the two of us. I think that because even though I understand meta programs, I think if you'd actually gone to educating me about the meta programs that are at play here, I think I would not have been in a position to explore the deeper layers of this dragon state.
Yeah.
And it would have kept it at the intellectual rather than the embodiment of how I'm actually doing this.
Yes, exactly. Nice. That's a powerful insight.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So thank you for that.
Yeah, you're very welcome. And thank you for sharing as well. It seems like we already have gone the hour and a half almost. What I really wanted you to take away from this, and also I've seen Francisco's, and Tanya and I have already worked, and Maria has sent me hers. So I will respond to all of you individually as well with questions, and so that you can get going. But it's not just like going through the questions. It really is like, okay, take your first outcome statement. And if you have that, and maybe, you know, get on a phone with someone else in the group or two others in the group so that you can really flesh out like what is going on here in this state. Put the context underneath it. Get the trigger and really ask those clarity questions, ask those meta questions. Because ultimately what I did here, and I don't know if you've been, if you've noticed that, but ultimately what I did here was follow Diane's strategy process for how she creates something. And that's why I focus on what I'm actually now doing in the Quantum Leap training, is that we do the well-formed outcome after we do. So first we do the different kinds of questions. Then we do the strategy process. Then we do a module on detection and analysis. And only then do we work on setting on the well-formed outcome? By that time, you already have all of the questions, but it is in the format that actually makes sense to get all of the details. So that's what I'm like wanting you to do, is to think in those terms of the stories and mapping it out in across time. So just, Francisco, I'm just going to unmute you. Do you have enough information? And like I said, I am going to send you an email with questions as well. But does this help you with working further on your outcomes?
Yes. What I wanted to do first was to use the problem outcome questions. So I went through those to try to go deeper. And I, in that process, I found a few interesting revelations. And now I'm working on the, you know, the outcome question, the basically the desire state question.
Yeah.
It's been very helpful and trying to do, I mean, but I think I need to go now next to work with somebody to get more information, and because it's really hard to do it by myself.
Yeah, it is. It is. So I would say do that initially, like work with someone in the team, and then once you have done that, then you and I can get on a call,
okay,
like I did with Tanya and with Nicholas, and the same goes for Maria and Diane. Once you have like worked with someone, refine it, and then we can get on a call and refine it even more.
I mean through this process, I already found a few things that I know that I'm doing and I need to change, and I know how to change it, and I'm about to change it, but I haven't done it yet.
Okay, sounds good.
but it's a revelation. I say, okay, now you know exactly what you're doing, and you need to change this and take some action. So I'm right there now.
Okay, very good. Sounds good. So. Let me know how it goes. We're going to meet 2 weeks from now. Before we do, are there any other questions? Diane, do you have enough information? Sorry, Francisco, but Diane, do you have enough information to continue this process?
Yes. I'm now focused on that middle circle because I know there's some other stuff that's going to come out of that.
Okay, very good. Nice. Francisco?
Yeah, I still get sometimes lost with so much information, especially when I have people that talk too much. It just kind of get overwhelmed, you know?
Yes. Yeah, so that's something that we need to deal with. And that might also be a part of your outcome statement.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So, and then once we get on a call, we will flesh that out.
Okay.
Yeah, thanks.
Thank you, Francisco.
Tanya?
I was just a bit of an admin request, really. I know I got the email from you a few days ago with the little video and the link to this call. Mm-hmm. I'm wondering if I missed an email from you, but there have been a few things that have come up today which I feel like I've missed some information or maybe missed one of the something in the module. So I'm wondering if perhaps in the next 48 hours you could maybe summarize and give us any, you know, just review what we have to do and any links or whatever that we need to do, as well as the follow-up in the few days beforehand, because especially for me, I'm going to be pretty busy over the next 10 days, so I don't want to miss anything, and I want to be prepared for the next call.
Sounds good. Yeah. I can totally do that. And like I also, I promised and I totally forgot, is to give a schedule of the next dates and stuff.
Yeah, that'd be great too. Thank you.
Yep. All right, I'll do that. So then I wish you a really good time at the training, Tanya.
Thank you.
Maria, did you have any questions or did you anything else that you
wanted to say? No, that's all good. I just, enjoy, Tanya.
Thank you. Hello, goodbye.
Very good. Okay, so So next 2 weeks, continue working on your outcome. Connect on the Facebook group and also share on the Facebook group so that we can give you questions and we can all learn from it and we can continue the conversation. I think that's important to do that. If you have any questions, you can always either Facebook group or just send me an email.
Femke, it's Diane. With the Facebook group, is that opened to past students or only just to our group?
It is open to past students, but that's only because I haven't removed them. So I can remove everyone to have like a really clean list.
Okay.
Yep. Let me just write that down. Okay. Thank you, everyone. Go ahead.
Sorry, lastly, I just wanted to thank you and the team. This has been really insightful for me today, and not only from being the recipient, but also seeing how you've been able to unpack that.
Nice. Well, thank you also for sharing so openly. I really appreciate it, and I look forward to the next time.
Thanks, everyone.
Bye,
everyone.
Thank you. Bye.